We all have that. It's not just now. I think so many men, women, people who are in charge or dependent on, I think you neglect yourself. And I think it's a, I'm 54, going to be 55 next week, and it's a work in progress. And I'm content. Like, if this thing ends tomorrow, I'd be like, wow, that was, it'd be like college. Those are the four best years of my life.
The episode you're listening to on the Men of the Hour is brought to you by Alice Mushrooms. All right, here's the thing about mushrooms I've learned over the past couple of days, if not the past couple of years, is that the right ones like lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, I mean, there's so many ones out there that they're starting to infuse into things like gummies and powders and potions and things of that sort. But this particular company is starting to take mushrooms into the chocolate world, and it is so fun to watch these amazing founders do just that. I do know one thing for sure about the mushroom space is that if you start taking them in the right ways at the right time, they can be really beneficial for you. Alice Mushrooms was born out of a desire to give people what neither a pharmaceutical industry nor supplements have provided, and that's safe, effective consumables that pair long-term benefits with immediate boosts of cognitive functioning. Their decadent chocolate treats combine the best organic fruiting body mushrooms with the best nootropics and adaptogens. This union pairs long-term benefits of mushrooms with the immediate effects of the nootropics and keeps you on your journey into the delights of fungi. And the result, of course, an indulgent daily routine that's good for you and only gets better with time. I want you all to try these chocolates so bad and let me know what you think about it, whether you snag a bundle of their energy and focus chocolates or their sleep chocolates. I don't swear by a lot of things these days, but I definitely swear by Alice Mushrooms. So try them for yourself today by heading to alicemushrooms.com and using my code Justin20 for 20% off at checkout. That's alicemushrooms.com and use the code Justin20 for 20% off at checkout. Hey everyone, welcome back to Men of the Hour podcast, season 8. If you haven't heard from any of our other guests thus far, then you'll find out very quickly with this next one that this show is rooted in men's mental health and well-being. And so joining me right now is yet another incredible new friend of the show, Mark D'Amelio. He's an entrepreneur, executive producer, and star of the new D'Amelio Show, which airs, I guess you can call it airs, right? Streaming on Hulu right now, and is also the co-founder and CEO of the D'Amelio Brands business, which is continuing to grow and flourish. But today, though, we do plan to dive into several topics surrounding fatherhood, fame and fortune, while being in family with all of that. And of course, mental health is related to both of those topics. Also, Mark and his family are up to a lot of incredible ventures, including that new show I just mentioned, streaming on Hulu, and then of course the D'Amelio Brands, which I'll let him kind of tell us more about right here on the podcast today. Lots to dive into with you, Mark, so thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Appreciate it, man.
You know, there's like so many podcasts you could have went on. So when I got the confirmation, I was like, okay, wait, don't, like, let's read that email one more time. And let's make sure that he doesn't pull back from this, because something that's so unique, I believe, not just about you over the past 30 years as an entrepreneur, but most recently, obviously you're the father of Charlie and Dixie D'Amelio, right? And then the four of you then go on this journey into creating some incredibly unique, I guess like a business, right? You can call this a business and entertainment in addition to the already existing D'Amelio Brands business. So let's just start there. And then I know we have a lot of more to dive into afterwards, but let's start with the show. I mean, did you guys think you were going to try to do a show after everything blew up on TikTok and Instagram?
Well, I mean, early on, I asked the girls both. First, it started with Charlie, and then my older daughter, Dixie, started to get popular. And we had these weekly, if not daily, checkups were like, hey, is this what you want to do? They were both two kids that were never came to me and said, Dad, I want to be famous. All I want to do is go to Hollywood. It's just kind of started that way. And so as we started to see what the perception was from us on TikTok, and they said that they wanted to continue to do this, I was like, well, I think the best way for us to convey who we truly are is to do a show. And it wasn't our idea. Someone came up to us and said, you know, you guys have an interesting family dynamic. The fact that you were just whatever normal is, an average family, I think is probably a better term, and living in Connecticut and all of a sudden thrust into the limelight in Los Angeles, I think that'd be an interesting show. We're kind of looking at each other going, would this be interesting? I don't know if anyone's really going to care, but we're three seasons in on the D'Amelio show, and it just aired on Hulu, and it's been great. I think this has been our best season yet. So
What makes it the best season so far for those of us who haven't yet clicked play?
I think we got comfortable. It's weird. It was always reality. It was always like what's really happening
Sure.
to us. But when you get a camera in your face and you just norm, I mean, I think until you get comfortable and you're always thinking about what you're going to say. And I think now it's more, and it's also a different time. When we started it, we were during the pandemic and COVID, and it was a lot of all kinds of, you didn't really get to see us living our lives back then. It
Sure.
was like it was almost like we were living someone, like all of us, we were living someone else's life. We're kind of going through COVID going. And then this was the first time I think we really got to see us interact. And there was a little bit more drama that I don't think was necessarily planned. It's just we're family, man, you know? So you get the good and the bad.
And the ugly. I didn't have to,
Yeah.
yeah, right? He didn't even have to say it. We're
Try to
like, yeah,
keep
we
the
get the
ugly.
ugly too.
I was thinking about that and I was like, we didn't really, there wasn't really much ugly there, but yeah, there
Well,
definitely
you
a good
guys
and
are,
ups and
that's
downs.
hard to do, right? You guys are good looking family. You know, I think it's interesting that a lot of times people will look at a family, right? Like the D'Amelios. And of course, like social media had a lot to do with the spike in fame. But even prior to that, I have no doubt that you guys had always been at least somewhat a little bit of everywhere, right? Whether or not you were in Connecticut or traveling for business and such, did that family dynamic then change after the show had come out in respect to how you guys, you know, are in public, right? I'm sure you guys don't go anywhere now in public to like a restaurant without some type of, you know, folks coming up to you and having all that exposure, right? Or do you have to be more private about things? Like, where's the biggest differences right now in how you guys are interacting with the world?
I think it's kind of strange. It seems, and I say this often, it seems really oddly normal. And I do think there's, yes, we get recognized by strangers, but I think, you know, there's that song, "We're All Famous in a Small Town." I think that's, you know, when we would go out to dinner, we would, instead of a stranger coming up to us, we'd see someone we know, like I'm sure you do, especially living not in New York City. Heidi and I lived in New York City for a little bit, but when we moved to Connecticut in Norwalk, there was 80,000 people, although it was really small. And you know, we always had people coming around, like I'm sure most families do. But yeah, we can definitely navigate now, though. Well, you know, there are people come up, and for the most part, everybody's really, really nice and conscientious of you know, people come up and like, I know you're eating or whatever. And I'm like, dude, if that's the worst thing that happens to me today, that someone wants to take a picture with me or stop us in our meal, that's I'm fine with that.
Yeah, no, I love hearing that, and I'm sure people do too. And for anybody who's interested in country music, I think the song you're referring to, Mark's "Famous Friends" by Chris Young and
Yeah.
Kane Brown, maybe, right?
Yeah, wait, there was another, it's we're all famous. Yeah, there's definitely a country song. I thought it was a female who sang it, but
Thought
we'll
maybe
get
there's two. No, I had to pull. It's definitely it's it, that was on my mind when you had said that. So then, even thinking about now. The business aspect of kind of where you guys plan to go. I mean, the only other people who have like, I mean, most people who know the Kardashians have also seen this happen to them, right? Where, you know, there are business aspects within the entertainment space. And so do you guys lean heavily into that? Is that something that you guys are now like, listen, we're going to keep church and state separate. We are family first. Great. We have a television. It seems like that's kind of the lane that you, based on what you've just said too, is wanting to go down, right? We're like business is business. And yeah, we happen to have a show. Girls have a lot of followers. That's fine.
yeah, I think we've done a little bit, you know, we've done a little bit of both. I do think that we started the business together. One, because that's what I did. I had my own, I started in the clothing business right out of college. I had my own clothing brand for a while. I've worked with some pretty big brands. And we, some of the issues we had early on was when Charlie or Dixie would do a brand deal, you don't have creative control, and you kind of have to, yeah, kind of you have to do what the client's asking, what the client's asking for. And
Sure.
with this, it was when we would get into situations where someone would say, well, hey, we got Charli D'Amelio on set. Charlie, we think the game plan is for you to do a TikTok dance holding our product. And she'd roll her eyes and look at me. And I'd be like, yeah. So one of the reasons why we did D'Amelio Brands, aside from us owning the IP and owning the majority of the company for obvious business reasons, is to make sure that we could have creative control and ultimately not be dependent on Charlie, Dixie, or every or either one of us individually. I think that's what people miss sometimes is as big as Charlie was, we're and as big as the Kardashians are, or as big as Kim is, they're bigger as an entity. And that's what I think
Sure.
the benefit is. And if Charlie decides a year from now, tomorrow, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, hopefully the businesses will be able to survive without one person. So.
Wow. Wow. I mean, listen, if you're into business and you're listening to this, there you go. That was consulting advice. Do you see what you did there, Mark? No, I'm kidding. That's really unique to hear out loud because I mean, a lot of times you can't even. You don't hear those things. So say like Mark was on a panel, right? I'm like, no, Mark's on a podcast, right? Because then my next question for you is like that intention right there alone, right? Being the foundation of what you guys are doing in business. Do you think that allows you to go into season three being a little bit more open, vulnerable, kind of not playing with the reality TV stuff, but then having that almost as like added value to what you guys are trying to accomplish as a family together? Because I would imagine, Mark, it is so difficult to work with the people that you are related to.
Yeah, I think it is, but I think we all have our. I mean, the last question you asked, I think I'll answer that. Is like, I think it is hard, but we've built a really strong trust in each other. And I think going through this, what happened with Charlie becoming a household name to a lot of people, and Dixie doing that, I think we've actually gotten closer. And as a dad and as a business owner and a CEO, I've been able to show them, like, look, I'm not right all the time, but I think I've been able to steer their career and put people around them that are really solid. And it, so when we get in these business things, like we're in a meeting today about one of the food company we have, and you know, when it came to profits and the brand and things, you know, I was talking when it came new product ideas, Charlie came up with a great idea and Dixie did. So it's actually really cool. And someone asked me today, coincidentally, did you ever think this would happen? And the road that it took, no, there are not a million years would have I thought that my daughter would be famous on an app and bring my other daughter on it. And but if someone took a snapshot of what was happening today, that we're sitting around a conference table talking about our family business, yeah, I would have, and that my daughters would be contributing to that, and my wife would be contributing to that in a big way, I would have said, yeah, it's just the that we took, I would have never guessed in a million years.
Wow. And then for the fathers or aspiring fathers listening too, I'm curious to ask you. So you mentioned that you don't always know everything, which leads me to believe that you learn a lot from your daughters, aka these creative ideas at the boardroom table, right? What would you say are the top things you've learned from them, especially since they blew up so popular on TikTok that then again led to like why we're even talking today?
Yeah, they just know the nuanced things that I, you know, even from just the other day, Dixie and I were doing a video, and I'm like, you know, I'm staring off into the, and she's like, Dad, look at the camera. And I'm like, so just the technical aspect of things, they're so solid on. But you know, I have the age, the experience, and the history, and we kind of so we play off each other, and I think that's why I wouldn't say we're successful. I think that's why we've done a good job keeping this on the track, you know, because
For
it's,
sure.
yeah,
Well, he was about to say because sometimes they can go off track, right?
it this I'm in Hollywood, California, and it's littered with people who fell off the tracks and never got back on, and it's not easy, you know.
Yeah, going back to what you said earlier about, you know, the potential and, you know, wherever that might go down the line, who knows, right? You didn't even know that you guys would be in this place that you are now, but you did mention, hey, listen, if Charlie wants to give all this up, business will still survive. So when it comes to the D'Amelio brands and you think about having that, not proposition, but essentially, again, that intention of upholding what you guys are building on the business side away from maybe the fame, is there a specific way that you do that, especially as their father, so that it doesn't feel like so much of an over, like a so much of an undertaking that it almost defeats the purpose?
Yeah, I mean, there are times I think when you do a brand deal with a company, you know, you got to show up all to everything. I think where when we do something that we own, I have the option to, hey, I know that, and I don't think we want the brand, like we don't want D'Amelio Footwear to be Charlie and Dixie's brand. Well, the same way we know that Skims is Kim's brand, but we also know that there's probably a lot of other people involved in that company. Same with us. And when I have the opportunity to hire outside models or work with other influencers, I do that. And but if there is a time that I'm not stupid, if there is a particular instance that I think it makes sense to have Dixie and Charlie there, I'll say, hey, I need you. We need you guys to be present on this one. This is an important one. But the fact that they don't have to be in every single one and they have equity in this business is great for them.
Listen, I could rapid fire mark 15 questions and we would still get these very thought out answers. So I'm always very appreciative that you're opening up this much, especially on the business side. I mean, listen, it's insightful, right? Anybody who, if you're listening and you're like, hey, I do want to, you know, eventually if my daughter becomes famous, that'd be kind of nice to know how to figure out how to do that with, as you know, as a business and personality, right? Especially now that you guys are on the show. More on you though. So do you ever feel like you had a gut reaction to them becoming so famous so fast? And in that reaction, did you have any fear at all about what this could have become?
No, and I have not, I don't have, yeah, I mean, but I have, as a dad, we have fear of everything. I had a fear that they would have went off to college and God forbid there could have been temptation or an accident or something. I mean, parents, that's all we do is, you know, we have this unconditional love for our kids and our main job is to help them grow into adults, but protect them along the way. I felt from the beginning that I don't know why this opportunity is happening to us. I don't think we're that we're extraordinary. I think we're very, very normal of a family, but for whatever reason, this crazy thing's happening and we have to take advantage of it. The same way if all of a sudden, you know, I had a son and he threw a baseball and I was like, wow, that was, you know, I think he's a pitcher, or I think, you know, when Dixie got on, that's just the way our family does things. I think when Dixie got involved in BMX racing, she was a bicycle motocross racer, and it wasn't, you know, I have that personality. I don't even know what you call it, but like I always got her the best bike, and we were traveling we went from like zero to traveling the country doing something to an extreme. And then when she was like, Dad, I don't want to do this anymore, I was like, okay. And I wasn't sad about it. And that's like, I look at this, Justin, I look at this as like we've had 4 years, coming up on 4 years, right? Actually, this month is 4 years that I brought Charlie out to LA. I was on a business trip and I brought her out to LA. She just started to become popular on social media. And we've had four crazy, you couldn't dream up that type of experience. And I'm content. Like if this thing ends tomorrow, I'd be like, wow, it'd be like college. Those are the four best years of my life. So it is what it is, man.
We have a lot to learn from Mark, that's for sure. So then, like, even on that note about, I wouldn't call it contentment, honestly. I'd say this is almost a sense of peace. Where did you find that? Is that something that was inherent? Was that brought to you from your family? Like, you seem very at peace with the fact that all of this could end tomorrow. And for most families, they're trying to make sure that this never ends.
I mean, I think I just learned. I mean, I've always had this attitude that life is short, life is precious, and you know, there's so many things you can do that you can control. There's so many things you can't that you can't control, and it's just gonna life's gonna happen to you, and it you know, it's not we're not I never and one of the things I'm most proud about is so far the girls have never gotten full of themselves, and I look at us as very blessed, very lucky, and we're all trying to figure things out. So I don't know. There's definitely a sense of just being content with life, and I think I've always strived to be happy, and whatever that means, and this, although it's probably more interesting or more exciting, I don't know that my life was any less fun 4 or 5 years ago when we were living in Connecticut. I just think I look to, I just try to find the, and I tell the kids all the time, like how beautiful and precious life is, and to take advantage of it. And I hope, you know, that's one of the things that I struggle with as a dad is, you know, how do you provide and give your kids everything that you didn't have without it affecting them that they don't appreciate everything that they're receiving? And that's like the biggest juggling act with being a dad, because I always wanted to give my kids something they don't have. And now when I get something, because I probably didn't have it as a kid, I appreciate it. And how do you teach that? It's you can't teach appreciation, and you can't, it's kind of counterintuitive. You give kids everything, or your kids everything that you think they would want, and then it's, and I'm not saying my kids aren't appreciative, I just think it's tough. So I've been able to maintain that thing inside of me that, you know, not saying I don't have bad days, but so appreciative of life, and so appreciative of the love life every day. So
A couple of points to even hit on here, especially as we go into like routines and strategies for a sec about literally about being a dad. And you kind of open that one up for yourself here, right? You talk about being a pitcher. I'm over here like, and you're like, you're about to catch what you just opened up, you know. But the hard days as a father, even, do you think that has any relativity to like, I'm just here, I'm feeling the word trust for some reason as you're talking. I'm like, I think that there's trust that you've instilled into your daughters so much so that even as you think you might not be giving them as much, the appreciation's still there, although it's not something you've taught them, right? And so I'm thinking out loud, I'm like, wait, so like, Mark, how are you able to take a really tough day, especially what as it relates to your business, the D'Amelio brands, or this new show that's out, and you guys have to hit the ground running with this press circuit? You know, like these days are tough, they're long, they're challenging. But what do you think that thread is that you feel as a father you're holding on to make sure that, you know, the family doesn't crack or even, you know, break at some point?
I think I'm good at reading the girls, right? I think, and they're good at reading me. I think there's sometimes where I'm just like, hey, this is just a they're not, well, this is a teenage moment, or this is a young adult moment where they kind of just need a little bit of a push, because I think they don't want to, and I'm not saying this actually happens, but like, look, we all don't want to get out of bed and go to an early morning class sometimes. So if they were in college and they called me and they're like, Dad, I don't feel like going to class, well, what would I say? I'd say, you know, you're at school for a reason. You got to get up and go, and being a you have to adult. And then there are some times where I have to sit there and say, well, maybe this load is a little bit heavier than an 8 a.m. class where you got to walk across campus in the winter. And then the thing that I've really learned, and this is to dads out there, I mean, dads and parents always want to fix things. I've learned it goes a long way to just be real and say, hey, I don't know what to do in this case, or there's nothing I could do for you right now to fix this, and I'm just here to listen to you. And that's one thing I've learned. I was always the guy who, being a the dad wanting to fix everything. And in these instances, you know, sometimes they need to hear, all right, time to get up, let's go. You signed a contract, you got a lot, there's a lot of people there's a lot of people depending on you, not me and your mom, but people that work for us, and or the opposite. I got to go to the people and say, hey, you know, they're both dealing with a lot, and I have to be the guy to say, we're not doing that today. And then sometimes I just got to shut up and just be like, all right, let me hear what's going on, and then come back with something or nothing later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, right? Because I think a lot of people dehumanize themselves as they get into the celebrity world, and you clearly are standing on your 2 feet knowing that that will never happen for you guys, which makes very much sense. As I mean, you said it earlier, season 3 has been the best, right? Or like the most authentically raw or most relatable in some sense. I'd watched this trailer and I remember thinking to myself, holy moly, if my family, we are 4, by the way, you know what I mean? And that is right. The relativity in all of this is that anybody listening right now, not everybody wants this for their family. Sometimes you do have to lean in, but to Mark's point, know when to lean back and say, listen, I'm just here to listen, and we will figure out how to make it work. So on that, it's interesting. You went from the word challenge, and I had the word hard days right here on number 5. And then you went into like, for those dads out there, literally number 6 says for those dads out there. So Mark's getting through this interview very quickly. I'm kidding. It is so interesting though. I feel like values, right? If we can talk about that for a moment as it relates to your family and then the business, of course. Because I'm just knowing you now, I mean, in 45 minutes, it sounds like those two things are always going to exist or coexist together. But if there's values that you feel like you've made sure that your family, these women that are going to be with you for the rest of your life, obviously, right, that they know are at the core of the D'Amelio family brand and show, right? Yeah, what would those be? I'm just curious.
I know this is so cliche, but I do think it's being... I think so much comes out of kindness and really being, we'll hear so much stuff because a person might have a certain, I don't judge people anyway, except how they treat me and how they treat my family. And within reason, obviously I might hear someone's a mass murderer and they're not someone that I would, but for the most part, I think I've instilled kindness and respect to my family. And I've done that by showing my daughters how a man should treat their wife or a woman. And I've seen it already where someone has, you know, said something to Dixie Charlie in a way, and they'll just say, I know that they'll say, I've never heard my dad talk to my mom like that. And I've never heard, you know, and it's the little things. It's the little things of kindness and compassion that I think, I don't know where I got it. I've always been very sensitive and always been a person that cares about other people. And I think I instilled that in my kids, whether it's, you know, I can't stand when people don't treat people that they may think they don't have to with respect. And that goes to people who work for us. That goes to people I meet on the street. And I think I've been able to keep that example. And my wife had that in her. And that's probably why I was originally attracted to her. And I want my girls to, if they take anything from me, that's the one thing. That kindness and compassion is the thing that I always drive home with them.
Mm. And you said people on the street a second ago. So can you give us an example recently, or even during the pandemic, when people had masks on, when you're walking up and down Sunset, whatever the example might be, can you give us an example, Mark, where no matter what the engagement might've looked like, you feel like that was definitely shown through how you engage with them? What I mean by that is, if that's in your inherent blood, I mean, I can tell just by talking to you, like you're an amazing guy, but then it's like, when you're interacting with fans sometimes, right? We hear from fans every day. Anybody listening, you probably heard this the same. You know, I go up to Mark and I don't know Mark, but I'm like, hey, I just want to tell you, I love your show. And then the one thing you do hear from a lot of fans is like, hey, he was kind of a, not you, but anybody else, right? You hear it all the time. Like they go up to their favorite celebrity or their favorite famous person, and it's not what they had expected, right? So the last interaction you've had with said fan of Charlie or Dixie or the whole family, right? Anybody that's a fan of your brands even, I mean, can you describe to us kind of what they were walking up to you saying, and then what that conversation was like? I'm just really curious. I know it was a good thing. I just want to share the good thing with the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, I just think we've always, if you're going to do this, you got to do it in a way that is all in. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day. I as a kid, I remember going up to a championship boxer way back. It wasn't Muhammad Ali, but it was back in those days. And with my dad, and I said, "Do you think he'd give me an autograph?" And my dad was like, "What do you want an autograph for?" My dad kind of instilled that in me, that people are people, and you shouldn't treat one person better or worse. You should treat everybody good and everybody great. And so I think you'll never hear from, if you ever hear, "Charlie didn't take a picture with me," Charlie didn't hear the person. Like, that's been the only thing. Other than that, I've never, ever, nor look, and I'm not Charlie D'Amelio, I'm Mark D'Amelio, so I don't have the same demands that she has, but there's never been an instance when we've denied anyone anything. And I think it's ridiculous that people would want to take a picture with me anyway. And if they do, that's great. But like, even when we do stuff for D'Amelio Footwear, we did a meet and greet. And, you know, I could never see ourselves leaving a meet and greet with a line waiting for us. Like, I don't care if you got there early, late. So, you know, we did something at the Grove, and we waited till every single person. The girls worked for, you know, and people will look at it and go, "Work. You just sat there and took pictures with people." And yeah, it wasn't work. It's easy. It's not easy, but we're not. When you come from came from a working class family. I'm not digging ditches. We make a decent amount of, we did make money. And if to make people happy, you sit and wait until the line goes to zero for 2 hours, who cares? Like, I think that is the least you can do. And that's what we do. And I love the fact that my kids aren't going like, "Dad, why do I have to do this?" They're like, "I want to do this. We're in the position we're in because of the people that follow us." And I hate the word fans, but followers, and we have an obligation to do good. So.
I said it 30 minutes ago. We have a lot to learn from Mark with only so many minutes left on the podcast though. So then when a platform like yours gets built this big because of your daughters, even, right? Could have been you. Say you were said actor and, you know, the daughters had followed up with the TikTok accounts. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been many, many, many things. Given the scenario in which it is right now, I'd only imagine that it's challenging to take care of yourself first. And I say that because earlier you'd mentioned that there is a sense of responsibility you have as the father to two daughters and your wife. And, you know, the family is, as you guys continue embarking on all these amazing adventures, and a lot of it's front facing, right? In terms of that, what you guys have to do, as you had said, you have a responsibility to a lot of people that rely on you, right? So that said, you think about taking care of yourself. If you could, I mean, if Mark can do it, we can do it, right? This is why Justin's proposing the question of, you know, how do you do that? Do you have routines? Is there a morning routine? I know that's very powerful for a lot of folks who are busy. And then how are you putting you first before then putting the family and the community and the brands and everything else after?
Yeah. I mean, that's the question, right? I mean, because I'm only as good if God forbid something happens and, you know, I get sick, you know, it affects a lot of people. And I think we all have that, right? It's not just now. I think so many men, women, people who are in charge or depended on, especially if you have that personality like I do, that I love to be dependent on, I think you neglect yourself. And I think I'm 54, going to be 55 next week, and it's a work in progress. And I've done everything from diet, exercise, kept with it, fell off it. It's just, but I have learned recently, and as I'm getting older, and I know the setbacks with your health, aren't like they were when you're in your 20s, that if I want to keep doing this and I want to keep being dependent on, because I love being a dad and being a CEO and doing that, that it's important. So I've done a lot of stuff. I mean, I've done everything from the little things, from, you know, following certain doctors online and looking at what I'm putting in my body and really entrenching myself in the knowledge base that's out there to find out, you know, why this certain food might affect me in a certain way, and just keeping, you know, just keeping cognizant of those things. And we're in a great time in our lives that you don't have to make a doctor's appointment to go and get an expert right on your computer or right on your phone to give you some advice. So, yeah, I think to your point, I think I'm trying to do more to put myself first, but like so many people out there that have kids and families, it becomes hard sometimes.
And just because I want to ask this, right? I'm generally curious, but I know that people are like, oh, this dude's about to ask a follow-up. I mean, think about it this way. If you don't put yourself first, you just mentioned it, it becomes self-sabotage to some extent, right? As people who are as busy as you, right? And I don't have kids and I don't know when I'll have a family, right? And anybody who's listening that's single and working on it and becoming a father, wants to be a father, now you know, right? This is a lot of work that goes into building and sustaining the family, the business, and now this fame. And so I love that, right? It's a work in progress. And then I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, which is great, about this idea that like you have this comfort. Right. It's not complacency and it's not a bad thing at all. It's you have this comfort and trust in what you're building and what you're wanting to nurture as your life. Therefore, you're able to kind of ebb and flow. Hey, I'm working on my health. All right. That didn't work out. You know, I'm working on this right now. And then that didn't work either. You know, Charlie, you don't want to be a TikTok star anymore. That's fine. You know what? We're going to work on something else anyway. But that is, I think that is the lesson that we wanted to learn from you on this podcast today, was that like in building anything in your life, family, business, and now fame, in order to sustain it, right, you do have to remain flexible and somewhat at peace with the fact that this could have never really happened to begin with, you know? And everybody's like, you know, Mark's over here shaking his head, like, holy shit, yeah, that's exactly what, yeah. But like, that's what I think is, it's so cool that that's how we're ending this conversation, because I mean, I was like researching, I was like doing this trailer videos. I was calling my assistant. I was like, hey, listen, you go ask this. So who else has been on? What other podcast was on? And I was going nuts. And I was like, you know what? Let's get him on the podcast and just start with obviously everything that you've told us today, which was so valuable. So I really appreciate you. And folks who are listening, I mean, listen, we've talked about a lot. Show notes exist for a reason. There's a lot of linkables down there, especially when it comes to the third season of what's streaming on Hulu, the D'Amelio Show. You made this very easy, by the way. It's not called anything but your last name. So then I can say
Yeah, I
D'Amelio
like that.
Show, D'Amelio brand, you know, Mark D'Amelio. Anyway, everything's below. But Mark, before we go, we have probably a couple minutes here, maybe 1 minute. You know, you think about where you're wanting to take this. I think that McConaughey a long time ago said this very well. It's like you do always have to look for forward to something, whether it's the next version of yourself or, you know, whatever you're looking forward to, right? So I always use the word forward as a way to kind of end these conversations in a good way, in a good light way. But what do you think you're looking forward to the most, after everything we've talked about in the last hour?
I'm looking forward to my daughters finding their, not that they're not happy, finding what their calling is, and understanding that these last few years and this notoriety is a vehicle to help them find what they really want to be. And then once I feel like, all right, they're, you know, they're set, then I think I'll start looking to ride off in the sunset and live on a beach somewhere with Heidi, and it's probably somewhere in the Bahamas, and chill for a while.
That's great. Mark, thank you so much again for saying yes, letting your team say yes, and trusting us with the podcast booking. But more importantly, I think there's so many things that we've learned from you. So thank you. I've learned a lot. Hopefully everybody listening right now has also learned a lot. I mean, it's such a special thing to be able to podcast for this long on a conversation and be able to hold one, right, with someone like you, who there could have been thousands of things we talked about, but it did definitely ebb and flow the way that I had hoped. So thanks for saying yes, man.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you, man. This is awesome.